I'm Andrew.
I'm Scott.
And I'm Steve.
And you're listening to Weekly Geek Speak. Coming up, we will be talking San Diego, all the news from the San Diego Comic-Con. Mm-hmm. It's exciting. We'll be doing some timey-wimey switcherooing because we watched Terminator Genisys as well. We'll be reviewing that in today's show. And also, we'll be running through your shout-outs and various things at the end of the show too. Without further ado, let's tell you a little about the podcast.
Okay.
We're a weekly geekly podcast.
Oh, yeah.
You can find us on iTunes, Spreaker, Stitcher, and Podcastland. And we're also on YouTube, where we have another show, I think is the word.
Yes.
Is that the word?
I would count as a word. We have a show called Amusement Arcade, which is me and Dan playing games, hopefully for your amusement.
You recorded recently. What's lined up that we can look forward to?
The classic Simpsons arcade game, the beat 'em up one. We played Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck World of Illusion.
Yes!
Sega
nice.
Genesis.
Nice.
Been looking forward to that
played
one.
A game called Five Nights at Pokemon's. We comment on the inaccuracy of the title as well.
Mm.
Okay.
Because it's Pokemon. Everyone knows the plural of Pokemon is Pokemon.
Yeah.
Everyone knows.
Five Nights at Pokemon's.
Yeah.
Right.
Unless it's a restaurant called, like, Pokemon's, like Freddy's is, like, kind of...
Yeah, it's a modified Nights at Freddy's.
But, so I guess in a sense it's right, but for aesthetic pleasure on the ears, it would sound better as Pokemon.
Yeah, right? Five Nights at Pokemon. That's how I'm going to call it.
Yeah, that would work.
Title be damned.
You can follow us on Twitter. Mm. We're getting very close to a landmark. I think we've got 9 followers to get till we're at...
Yeah.
1500, it means nothing, but it's exciting.
It means good. Everything.
It means all.
And also Facebook, facebook.com/weeklygeekspeak. Lots more likes on there as well. We've been growing in our social medias. We're also
on Instagram.
Instagram.
Yeah.
What have we been doing?
We can follow our shenanigans at our screenings, and we pop up occasional
recordings,
selfies, and...
If you came to our screening last week, thank you very much. We really appreciate it. It was a great evening. Watch Starship Troopers. We'll be talking more about that next week.
Yes.
But for now, I thought we're going to cover the big San Diego news coming up. But before we do, there are a couple of new... We always joke, I think it was even on one of our podcasts, we joke that the news drops as soon as we finish recording.
Yep, every time.
I think one of the jokes we made was that the Spider-Man will be announced, and that was actually what happened.
Yeah, it did.
And there was a young chap announced. Well, who was he? Tell us a little story.
Yeah, so Tom Holland is our new Spider-Man.
Tom Netherlands.
Oh.
Tom
Netherlands, correction. After a series of complex screen tests, is expected to debut 2016 in Captain America: Civil War, then in 2017's standalone Spider-Man movie. John Watts of upcoming film Cop Car will direct the Spider-Man movie.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly, Kevin Feige said that it's a soap opera in a high school.
Feige.
And the supporting characters that are the interesting ones. We haven't seen a John Hughes movie in a long time, not that we can make one, but he's inspired us, and merging the superhero genre in a way we haven't done before excites us, and it'll also bring villains we haven't yet seen before on screen.
So first of all, Tom Holland, what do you think, Scott? Good
casting?
Odd reaction, hasn't there?
I think that's a reaction to it's our third Spider-Man in a decade, so we're a bit Spider-Maned out. Mm. So I think everyone wanted a bit somewhat different, whether he be his gender or sexuality be different or whatever. I don't care about any of that. I think the reason they've not done that is because they were already taking a risk in actually having a kid. Because that was their risk element to this. Because Spider-Man should be a kid.
He should, and that's what I was going to say. Is it's refreshing to actually have a high school-aged person playing a Spider-Man, as opposed to a 30-something-year-old playing it. I think it's a good move, personally. And let's be honest, when it comes to heroes, there hasn't been much miscasting so far in the Marvel Universe.
No, and I mean, it's not our last Spider-Man. We'll get to different ethnicity Spider-Man, because Spider-Man is not defined by his ethnicity. He's just a kid from Queens, isn't he?
Mm.
So he could have been black, or There's a weird call for him to be gay recently, which I don't get. Seeing as, like, you've got Mary Jane and Gwen Stacy as
the sort of...
Do you know what I mean? You'd have to change it to, like, Jim Stacy and...
Bobby John.
But again, I don't think he's defined by any of that.
No. Also, we got some images from Batman versus Superman.
Okay.
There's a shot of a tuxedoed Bruce Wayne dancing with Wonder Woman, implying there's a relationship of some sort, not necessarily romantically. A couple of pictures that reminiscent of the trailer, and we saw Lex Luthor for the first official time.
I liked long red hair. I like that because I always remember in, I think it's The Death of Superman, he had his long hair, didn't he, and things. And Lex Luthor is kind of, lots of people go, Lex Luthor with hair? No, don't worry about it.
He always has long red locks when he has hair,
Okay.
And he's going to lose it.
We've seen that. Jesse Eisenberg picture anyway.
I think he'll be really good. Don't give too much away, but just a lot of cool shots, and I think stuff will start ramping up, especially with San Diego.
In our new section, some point.
Yeah.
I'm sure there will be lots released on this.
Definitely.
But more of that later. Anyway, any other things just quickly?
Yeah, I just thought I'd drop in the Green Lantern movie. A bit of news about that. Will feature multiple Green Lanterns. The Warner Brothers movie is currently scheduled for 2020. And will feature Hal Jordan, Jon Stewart and Guy Gardner. It'll possibly feature all three. And this series of movies will focus on each one individually. That's rather cool. than just being a Green Lantern film. It'll follow the, sort of the Green Lantern core, which sounds quite exciting.
I've pitched this out loud on this podcast a few times. You have to differentiate from the failed Hal Jordan one. One way would be to have Jon Stewart, but that's just a bit... But what makes Green Lantern appeal, how you can make it different, is play off the buddy cop aspect to it that you can't really do with other heroes. So that sounds perfect to me.
It does.
I have the core in. And then it doesn't matter which Green Lantern's in Justice League, because you've got them all in the Green Lantern film, and you can interchange them, and that can easily be its own franchise if you set up a cool load of characters and play them off each other.
And I think we'll probably hear, I'm guessing there'll be more some tidbits after San Diego as well. We'll discuss that all later, but now it's time for our bi-weekly movie catch-up game that we play Recommend, Decommend. Steve, what's that? What's the Recommend and what's the Decommend?
So, a Recommend is that we watch... Bring all the films that we've watched in the interim between recordings. We pitch in our highest rated one or our favourite one that we'd like to share and get out there. And we each vote on it for the ultimate recommend. And then we pitch the lowest rated or worst film that we watched. And we pitch it to each other. And we choose which one goes down the well of Decommend and gets locked away forever. Saving your eyes, averting you from awful movie disasters.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Scott.
Yeah.
What's your recommend?
Let me have a look. I've watched 7 films. I feel like I'm back, baby.
Nice.
3 rewatches. One was my ultimate recommend from last year, Guardians of the Galaxy, so I can't go for that. I'm going to say High Fidelity.
High Fidelity. That's okay. Mr. Cusack.
John Cusack, Jack Black, and others. I've just always loved this film, and it's hard to articulate why. I just weirdly identify with it on some level. Maybe it's the fact he's a slightly manic depressive, stuck in his life, music geek, having a midlife relationship crisis of sorts, and likes to list things obsessively. There's something about that I relate to. There's something odd there.
Wait, I can't quite put my finger on it.
And the book's really good. And just one of Jack Black's best performances, because he's just a side character cameo, but he really shines in a weird way. And, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of John Cusack in the world, but this is a film that works with him, if you know what I mean. And I just think it has a sweet but realistic message, and is an enjoyable film. It's just quite solid. So I return to it every few years, not through any weird... It's been a few years!
Gotta watch
it. Just, when you find yourself weirdly returning to something, it speaks to the film, doesn't it?
Definitely.
High Fidelity, then. Steve, what have you got?
Oh, so in the week that Scott's back watching seven films, I'm back in that I've been to the cinema more than once. I know. I've had time and done things. It's a tough one. I'm going to drop in Jurassic World just as a mention to say that I saw it and everything you said was spot on. I went in with no expectations and came out thoroughly high seven, thoroughly entertained, batshit crazy action, madness, funny, slow burning film. You could rip the shit out of it and pick it apart, but I don't want to because it was just brilliant, thoroughly entertaining. Glad I saw it in 3D and the cinema. And I think it's the Jurassic Park movie I wanted as a younger kid, just constant
1993
action.
Steve came out.
1993 me.
I want my dinosaurs.
Yeah, 1993 me sat there going, fucking yes, this is it. So yeah, loved it. Really enjoyed it. Just
out of 10?
High 7.
Mm.
No, I agree. Didn't blow me away, but it was thoroughly entertained by the whole.
Did you find some of the lines just upset you?
It was a bit odd, yeah. So
we have to stay together.
The kids were quite irritating.
Kids are always
They were really annoying. They weren't as annoying as the kids in the first one.
There were a lot of that older kids' wandering eye.
Yeah.
Which didn't go anywhere.
Yeah,
no. It was just like,
you only need to establish that point once. I think that he likes girls. And then
opened up with him giving his girlfriend, and then he was just like, oh, there's a girl over there.
I think it should have really shown him as a really like sexual predator.
It almost made him out like
looking
that.
Looking at his auntie like, then looking at a velociraptor's bum like, something wrong with this kid.
What's going
and
on?
And at the end, he's just like chasing the Indominus Rex around and come here, love.
It was odd and unnecessary. It was character colour. I don't know if I was supposed to like him more or less because of his hormones.
And Chris Pratt's pretty much going, we are going to end up together because movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chris Pratt's like, I'm oddly charming, but nothing I'm going to say is charming.
I'm just going to stand here with my hand on one hip. And
you're going to really like me, but not because of the script.
Turn on the Pratt. Hey.
So yeah, that was a mention, but my recommend has to, and I don't normally bring the big guns, but my recommend has to be the new Mad Max. It was just fucking incredible. I'd heard what you guys had said, and I tried to avoid reading or seeing anything else about it, and just thoroughly blown away by everything. The fact that it never stops for breath. It dies down for a small pant and a whimper, and then just fucking kicks you again, and it just keeps going. I didn't think anything could do, and there's a plot and there's a story and you feel for the characters, but you kind of come out going, I'm not sure how or why, because it just,
I didn't have time.
It just bombarded your eyes and your senses, and you're like, shit, there was a story and a plot, and I did care for those characters, and I did want, it was just fantastic. The soundtrack was amazing, like you said, with the sound design and the in the distance getting nearer and further away, and it was just incredible. Charlize Theron just amazing. You don't need to know much about the characters. You don't find out much about them. You're just sort of thrown into this world, and it's like, go for it.
I was thinking about this. That you were saying, it's almost like he's created a beautiful world and then plopped you in the middle of it.
Yeah,
it's almost, the story is almost the same. It's like most other films would give you that whole bit, the start with them escaping. What's he called?
Immortal Joe.
You'd have all that, and there would be, in those pause of breath, there'd be more character development. But it doesn't. It literally drops you in.
Yeah.
Story, world, characters, everything. You've got to pick this up as we go, because we don't have time to wait for you or spell it out to you.
Yeah.
We're just going to go mad. But
and you do pick up on it, and you do get to know the characters, and you do feel for them and their story, and it's great. It's just, it's still a 9 out of 10. Phenomenal film. How it will hold up on a smaller screen, I wait to see.
Yeah.
But again, I'm sure it won't. I'm sure it'll only drop to an 8.
Gravity syndrome.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, well, I've only got 7s out of 10s, and nothing's particularly glaring. Well, the only ones over a 7 are ones I can't talk about, because we're going to be talking about them next week. Starship Troopers. but, yeah, it's really meh films, frankly. So, I feel like I've talked about Manborg before, so I'm going to go with Hector in His Search for Happiness, mainly because it was a surprise that was actually worth watching in the end. I enjoyed it as a 7 out of 10. It's Simon Pegg. Now, I'm so used to Simon Pegg doing Run, Fat Boy, Run. I'm Scared of Everything.
How to Make Friends and
Alienate People. Yeah. And anything he seems to do away from Edgar Wright is cringy and a bit painful. Yeah. Hector and His Search for Happiness, I was fully expecting it to be exactly the same, and I'm not quite sure why I picked it to watch. But I actually did watch it, and it's quite a nice watch. It's exactly what it says on the tin. It's about a man searching for what happiness is. Okay. But it isn't wacky escapades of Simon Pegg falling over and things. There are some great bits and a great drama running in there as well. There are funny bits. It's nothing special at the same time.
Yeah.
But it's definitely, when I go and see Simon Pegg in something like this, this is more what I would want from him. Now, unfortunately, now we expect it to be terrible, but this one isn't too bad. And it does look at happiness, and then it almost feels like you are reading a novel, because everything is very happenstential and things, and it all falls into place quite nicely and things. But it's just a sweet, nice film, and it's sensible as well as funny. And it worked. It's nothing to shout about, but I thought I'd throw it in there. 7 out of 10. It's better than the other ones I've got. So, Hector, I don't think he'll win, but we're going to throw it in there. So it's voting time. Scott, you have Mad Max Fury Road and Hector and He's Looking for Happiness.
I have not seen Hector Is Looking for Happiness. Where could it be? Not under there. That's the title, isn't it? I just like my voice. I just like my sentences continue sometimes, and even I don't know where they go. I've not seen it, I've not really heard about it, but I do kind of hate Simon Pegg these days. And I don't want to, because I love Space, I love Shaun of the Dead, I love Hot Fuzz. World's End was okay, but like, it just irritates me. I don't know why. I can't even articulate it. But that doesn't mean he's not capable of doing good stuff. So maybe it's good. I know we share similar thoughts on that, so it sounds like that might be something I can watch and not be offended by. But I really did enjoy Mad Max Fury Road, because the road was very furry. I mean, you couldn't get a more basic story. Little to no character development or real narrative at play, but it's such a rich world. It's such a visually strong film, and it's so batshit insane as this like carnival of madness on wheels is traveling around. Yeah. Like, you've got to just admire it and enjoy it for what it is. And obviously I've only seen the first Mad Max, which we know I wasn't a fan of. But it made me get it. It made me interested in it, and it made me enjoy it. So it's a success for me.
Cool beans.
Mad Max gets a vote. So that means Steve gets to vote next. You've got High Fidelity and Hector and His Search for Happiness.
That sounds... It wins. No. Hector and His Search for Happiness.
I know where happiness is.
You'll be pleased to know there is an happiness joke in there for the French lady.
Where do you find happiness? They're not that hard to find. Anyway,
I'll let you sleep. Yeah, no. Again, like Scott said, I've completely fallen out of love with Simon Pegg. I think the choices he's made, seemingly away from Edgar Wright, don't seem to have done him any favours. Even as we've discussed before, even in like Star Trek and things, I don't know, it didn't really work. So it's nice to hear that he's done something that's not sort of overly offensive and awful. Would I watch it? I don't know. But High Fidelity, I agree, is a great film and a great book, and Nick Hornby.
Yep.
Great author, and it's pretty true to the book as well, which
apart from the fact it's in Chicago instead of London,
but it sort of follows it. It's quite good, and I do like that, and I do, it rings bells of lists and being at a certain point in your life. So it's going to be High Fidelity. Great soundtrack as well.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Really good soundtrack.
The Beta Band.
Yeah,
it was a little bit of the Beta Band. They drop bands' titles in as if they're really obscure.
Yeah.
But they'll be saying, like, The Clash.
Yeah.
And that always amuses me throughout the entire film. Mm.
Well done.
As if, oh, I've never heard of Belle and Sebastian. Minute. You're blowing my mind.
I've got The Deciding Vote, Mad Max Fury Road, High Fidelity. Yeah. High Fidelity is always, it's been on my to-watch list. It's something I'm interested in seeing, but I've never got around to, and I couldn't tell you why. It's one of those, you know, that I do want to watch. What was it you brought the other week? Empire Records. Mm. It's like exactly like that.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I want to watch it, and I think I will enjoy it. And it, against most other things, I might be like, oh, well, it's been on my list, I'm going to pick it. Mm. But Mad Max Fury Road has been this year my favourite film I've seen in the cinema. Mm. It's just so fun and everything. And it is, as I said, my three-word favourite, made for me, you know?
Mm.
Made for me.
Definitely.
So I can't really do it as predictable as it is right now. It has to be Fury Road for me.
Felt odd bringing the big guns.
Mm. Sometimes you have to.
Sometimes you have to go big or go home.
Yeah.
Mad Max Fury Road. Just see it if you haven't already.
Yeah,
do it. I'm glad you saw it in the cinema, though. Definitely. Things. It's a film that gave me the willies when you hear that noise and things. Mm. And the noise of, when they're all the way off in the distance and you still hear them. And it's always like that ticking clock that it's getting there. Even when you're not in the midst of the chaos is coming for you.
Yeah.
And that's what I find with the best zombie things as well, that it's always coming for you. And that feeling was always in the film.
Yeah.
And the bit where they, in the middle where they go, they have to go back to it, you know, and it's good. It's a great film.
It is.
Fun, stupid, but a lot more to it than you think.
And the stunts and the practical effects are just fucking incredible. Just the jumping from car to car and just hanging off the end of poles at that speed and fighting is just amazingly well choreographed as well.
It is great, but now it's time to go on to Decommend, and it's Scott that goes first.
I'm torn between two lovers.
Oh.
But we won't get into that on this podcast. I watched two films that you both have recommended and decommended recently.
Okay.
But there's not much between them for me. So I'm going to say Kingsman. I'll save In Between Us Two, which was better than the first, but just fine.
Mm.
Just fine. Mm. It was like a long episode, wasn't it?
Mm. Yeah.
So it felt better to watch, but
yeah, it's exactly.
It's
refreshing after that one, but it's just a long episode.
I watched Kingsman. It's a sweet sort of trying to homage your more stupid old fashioned Bond films, and do it with like a bit of subversive modern twists, and it's really stupid. But kind of fun, but definitely odd. I think I enjoyed it, but I don't think I enjoyed it enough, if you know what I mean. There's a lot to really enjoy about it, but it just needed that extra something to make it a cool recommend that I feel it lacked slightly. So it's just a fun throwaway film to be forgotten about, unfortunately, when it had real potential to be something a bit cooler.
Mm.
With just that added, I don't know what. Maybe it is the ending. But I don't think the ending was that odd. I thought it was stupid.
Yeah, it's
definitely stupid.
It just doesn't fit. It's just bizarre.
It's stupid, but I don't think it's odd. I think it's completely in theme. Mm. But it's, yeah, I can see why that's where people got lost. But it's a fun, forgettable hour and a half where it just had it had potential to be more. So I will decommend it for that reason.
Oh, Kingsman, okay. Coming again to the forum.
Mm.
Steve, what have you got?
I watched the Nicole Kidman and Colin Firth Before I Go to Sleep, about a lady who wakes up every morning as she's had a head injury. She wakes up with a brain injury. She's got a brain injury and basically wakes up every morning, has amnesia, and relives the same day.
Wasn't this 51st Date?
And has to keep...
Wasn't this Memento?
Yeah.
Wasn't this Groundhog Day?
Yeah.
Wasn't this My Life?
Yeah, oh, wait. Did I just sit and watch you for an hour and a half? Wait a minute. We had Edge of Tomorrow. But yeah, it had potential, but it just dull. And again, I'm... I switched off to it, and about halfway through I thought, I'm just not a fan of Colin Firth. And I can't tell you why. I can't articulate it. I'm just not a big fan. And I didn't put me off when I saw him, but it wasn't until halfway, like I say, halfway through, I went, I'm just not a fan. It was kind of obvious. The book's apparently really good, but I didn't buy the film. It was a bit dull. It was kind of obvious. Mark Strong was solid. Nicole Kidman was all right.
I thought you were talking about my film for ages, because half the cast's in mine, and I know it's based on Mark Millar. So I was just like, is he just talking about Kingsman?
but I think Mark Strong was the best thing in it. He was a great, he played a really good character, but I got to the end and
went, this is uncanny.
I got to the end and just went, alright, so yeah, it was, right, okay. I didn't buy into it. Yeah, felt a bit too long. It was just meh.
Fair enough.
Really, unfortunately, it was a 5. I'm sure people have seen it, that read the book and enjoy it. I don't know, but didn't do it for me, didn't float my goat.
So for me, I've got 3 5s out of 10s, and I don't really know which one to go with, but the one I probably have the most to say about is Boyhood. Oh. Oscar bait that was out this year. It's nothing really particularly offensive or anything. That's why it's a 5 out of 10. It's just average. It's the thing with this was, it was filmed over 12 or something years with this kid who's growing up.
People latch onto it.
But the problem with it is, that's it. That's it. You're seeing flashes through this boy's life as he grows up, but there's no real narrative in there, which I guess there wouldn't be if you're having a flash, but I think it's a great idea in doing that, but you need to have something as for a viewer of a film, because it was just boring. I found it really boring. I think it needed more, frankly. There's a good bit in his childhood, one of the flashbacks about an abusive stepfather and things, and that was interesting. And the ending, the last line in the film, it sums up the film. Hey, I've wasted 2 hours of my life. And it did feel a bit like I'd wasted my time. I don't really know what the songs and dances were about. Patricia Arquette got an Oscar for this, and I don't particularly see why. She did fine, but it's not a standout performance.
You're making that classic mistake where you put stock in the Oscar.
But it needed to give me more.
I just mean Oscars are arbitrary. Yeah. Don't try and put your head around it. It doesn't...
Yes.
I wouldn't really advise it to anyone. And that's the second one of the Oscar films I've seen now where I've just gone,
what's the other one?
Birdman. I just don't...
I really like Birdman.
I still need to see that, because you're both torn.
But Birdman was better than this. This was just dull, and I didn't really like the kid, frankly.
Fair enough.
So I didn't really want to spend 12 years with him, but I did.
Okay.
So yeah, that's mine. So Scott, you have got Before I Go to Sleep and Boyhood.
I have not heard of Before I Go to Sleep, but it sounded really interesting, actually. Which is not the purpose of Decommend, is it? but Boyhood, I don't put any stock in Academy Awards or anything. They're so arbitrary, and they ignore anything genre or deemed unworthy, which is arbitrary in itself. But it was highly acclaimed, Boyhood. So out of the two, that's the one I feel I'm going to watch. And whether I feel good or bad about that will be up to debate, but I'm not comfortable recommending that one. Whereas the other one, just because I'm not heard of it or thinking about it or overly aware. That's a terrible reason. It's all about when I've seen neither.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to say, before you sleep,
Before
I go bed byes.
Before I go night night.
Every time I close my eyes. What's it called?
There's a song in there somewhere.
I keep getting here. I die before I wake. I don't know why. What did you pick?
Steve.
I choose you!
Specifically Steve, and nothing to do with Phil.
Decommend me.
Oh, you're decommending him?
Yeah, he's decommending me. It's alright. Don't worry.
He's saving you, Andrew.
Steve, you have Kingsman and Boys.
I do.
Boys in the Hood.
So, Boyhood is something, like, to me, I've not watched. I don't know whether I'll get around to it. It reeks of Oscar bait, and I don't, like, I don't hold stock in the Oscars. But Oscar then bait. I don't tend to watch the Oscar films either.
But I don't think every film is Oscar bait. It gets called Oscar bait by the way Oscar embraces it.
Yeah, yeah.
The Oscars embrace it. But, like, that's not the film's fault for getting all this attention and stuff.
No, it's true.
The Academy Award process.
For giving
for
it
being
such
arsy.
Yeah.
And focusing on one sort of film all the time.
Yeah, exactly. It's just
deeming it worthy.
And it sounds like an interesting concept. Like you say, it is a fascinating idea getting someone to do that. It's not been done before, but if there's nothing else to it, then I don't really want to spend my time watching it. But it may be one of the... Mate, that's not even a word.
Maybe.
It might be one of these stick-on in the background when I'm doing something else.
I'd recommend
but
that
I
for no film.
Can't not decommend Kingsman, because I decommended it myself and I didn't like it. There were a few scenes in it that I really thoroughly enjoyed. The scene in the church was fantastically well choreographed and brilliant and in your face and great, but the rest of it just... didn't do it.
As a love letter to an old-fashioned sort of spy film, but obviously we modernised sort of action traits. It was really good and strong, and for like an hour of setup or whatever, I was really kind of into it.
Mm.
And then it just kind of plays out.
The lady with the blade leg was pretty cool, but
we seem to be having a spate of these spy movies this year, don't we? Spy, The Man from U.N.C.L.E., this, Bond's back. Is that this year or is that next year?
We've been...
And Mission Impossible. It's just a spy year.
None of them are overly good.
No.
Well, I'm trying to think of the last good spy film as well.
Casino Royale.
Probably. Or Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, but that's a completely different sort.
So yeah, not being a big fan of that sort of film as well, I think. I don't know. Yeah, it just didn't do it. So Kingsman is going to be my decommend.
So I have Before I Go to Sleep in Kingsman. Before I Go to Sleep sounds an interesting concept, but as we said, it sounds like it's been done before. I don't really know. I might give it a go. It's not standing out. But the fact that both of you have now brought Kingsman to decommend, and you're both people whose opinions I generally trust, I'm going to kick that one down.
I don't think Kingsman's terrible, though.
Mm.
It's purely, I've just seen a lot of films that are on a similar path.
Mm.
That's the only
Also, when I saw the trailer, it didn't do anything for me. I didn't see these chavvy lads hanging around with some spies. It didn't do it for me.
I don't think it's bad, though. We'd get it like a strong six.
No, I only have the opposite. I thought it was terrible. But I loved some awesome scenes. So somewhere in the middle, yeah.
So I'm going to kick it down anyway.
No.
Bye, Kingsman.
Bye, Kingsman.
In it, bruv. Word.
So there we are. Your recommend this week, Mad Max Fury Road, and your decommend, Kingsman.
Boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom.
Great theme. Much like Jurassic Park, we're revisiting something that doesn't need revisiting. I was saying to Scott, that seems to be the theme of the year with Mad Max. Didn't really need revisiting, but we did anyway. You know?
No, that was a success.
It was a success. Yeah. Jurassic World arguably is a success.
Arguably a success.
Yeah.
There was another one I pointed out to you as well, wasn't there? Mission Impossible.
Oh, yeah.
That's coming our way.
Yeah.
And we don't need to revisit that.
No,
but
when did we stop visiting it?
I know.
It's like a batty old woman who keeps knocking on your door.
Isn't it?
Forget she came yesterday. She just wants the company.
Just needs somebody, doesn't she?
Yeah. Still here.
So, much like when we did our review a couple of weeks ago for Jurassic World, let's establish where we are in our attitudes towards Terminator. I think we can all agree that the first two are brilliant pieces of cinema.
The first two are classics for different reasons.
Mm.
The third one is not as terrible as they say.
Mm.
It's just very disappointing because it's definitely not a classic.
It's a stupid version, isn't it?
It's a stupid version.
It's all
the
intelligence. And it reeks of, oh, we have the Terminator. I think people that sells tickets.
It's just a bit cynical and a bit by the numbers.
Because I still haven't seen it.
And then Terminator Salvation was... tried, but it really failed.
To put it nicely.
It did not feel like a Terminator film at all. It was
gaping plot holes, stupid decisions, not much to care about.
So Genesis is coming, and we saw the trailers, and our reactions to the trailers was, is this a best of album?
Yeah, definitely.
Recreating certain scenes and things.
Yeah.
And it's arrived, and me and Scott saw it today, only a few hours ago, and it's an interesting one. I'm going to hand the plate over to Scott to put his opinions on.
It depends how you want to see it. If you want to see it as another bit of the mythology of Terminator,
right,
it's kind of terrible.
Okay.
But if you want to see it, like I decided to watch it, as weird fact fiction, that's a hodgepodge of all the other films, where Linda Hamilton's played by Miley Cyrus, Bruce Willis's son plays Kyle Reese, there's an older Arnie because he can't get any other work, and the Terminator is played by John Connor, who looks like someone tried to fashion a human face out of stone and then gave up at some point.
Right.
Good. It's okay. So it depends how you want to view it, really.
Yeah.
But right. I like the Terminator, and this was a lot of timey-wimey, make-no-sense nonsense for no reason. I thought, all right, this is all just pseudoscience time explanation to reboot the franchise and give me something cool. But then nothing cool happened.
Oh.
Remotely. Apart from the best bits are the weird throwbacks to the old films, but they're the bits that feel the most like heresy at the same time. So it's a really weird film. It is a complete, literal hodgepodge Frankenstein patchwork of all the films.
Right.
Even Salvation put together.
I don't want to spoil
really
it.
Weird.
I don't want to spoil it, but is there a new Terminator where they have to get the clothes amusing scene like there is in the first couple? Is that one of the nods?
You know what? There are some good nods. I kind of, some good nods. I think that's a great way of putting it. Someone studied the first two films. In great depth and has really looked at it and picked it apart, and a very intelligent person who's kind of said, you could do this with it, with the damage that's now been done to those two, you could kind of redo this and go around and go back over that and then correct it all.
Okay.
And then you'd read that on the internet and go, that's a really interesting theory, I like that in principle.
It'd be amazing fan fiction.
But it's kind of, for me it's like somebody's painted a beautiful picture and that's the first two films, and it's great. And then someone's come along and go, don't you think it would be better if I just... Oh, shit. And you know when Mr. Bean rubs the face off the image in the Mr. Bean film? And then he's like, shit, what do I do? And he has a panic, and then he draws a face on it, it looks even shitter. And then that's where we were after Salvation. The picture was ruined, but there was still a lot there. And now someone's coming again, right, here it is, the ruined picture, I'm going to try again. And then kind of, they're not as good an artist, but they've kind of corrected things. But the problem is, it will never be the same now. And that's how I generally feel about the Terminator.
Yeah, and there's a couple of decisions I really didn't like, but I try not to judge it based on that, because... They're like weird fanboy opinions. Mm. It doesn't matter, ultimately.
I did like that the first half of the film I thought was pretty fun. Good. Yeah. But the second half fell into the tropes of all action films.
I was going to say, is it an action
film? And the ending is just... That felt almost like it could have been taken from Terminator Salvation, in a sense. It was very similar to what was going on in the end of Salvation, and I was bored by that point. But it is very good. It's a 6 for me, or something around that mark. It's better than Salvation. It's probably on par with 3, but none of these films should have happened. I don't know a film like Terminator 2 that so beautifully ties everything up.
Yeah.
And I've always thought, from when 3 came along, as a teenager, I was going, no, I don't want this, because it's so nicely tied up. And it is now a frayed mess.
You don't top a thumbs up slowly descending into the lava. You don't top that, man.
No.
That's perfect.
And there's so many standout moments in those first Terminator films. So many lines, so many things that happen. And they seem stinkingly desperate trying to reenact these, so we'll like, yeah. Oh, do you remember that great bit from Terminator
Genesis? He is a really crap version of it.
No, it is.
And do you, the liquid Terminator technology in 97, was it?
Yeah.
Was so cutting edge and looked so vital. Yeah. And even today, when we can be a bit cynical about it, I still love watching it. Why isn't it aged at all in all these years? Why does the effects look no better?
Oh, wow, really?
Okay. It literally looks as on par with the 1997 T2.
It does, yeah.
Which is a crime, I think, in 2015.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I agree. Yeah, it looks no better. And they tried to do it with Christina Loken's Terminator.
Yeah.
Trying to top this. I think, much like the T-Rex in Jurassic Park, that T-1000, it stands out as the ultimate. Mm. And even in this one, Genesis, they try to do something else. But it you can't top that T-1000. And they even neutered the T-1000 to a bit, didn't they? That again was a force that was coming for you, right. And you couldn't stop it. It was what makes the pacing of Terminator 2 brilliant.
Yeah,
it's a wave coming towards you, and you can't stop it. Whereas this one, he's a sideshow, isn't he? He's just a piece, just to say, look, he's in it.
Is it one of these 3D ones as well? Is it all 3D? Is it a 3D one?
Well, we saw it in 2D.
You can watch it in 3D.
You can. I'd say 2D. Everything nowadays seems to be 3D.
We didn't go for any mod cons. Okay. It's not necessary.
Whereas we were saying about Jurassic World, you could pick it apart. You can pick this one apart. The thing is, with Jurassic World, it's more forgivable because it owns itself. It goes, this is the situation we're in, this is what we're doing. Whereas this film is desperately clinging on.
Yeah, I think that's the difference, because Jurassic World seems like we grew up loving Jurassic Park, so we'll just have a fun, stupid version. Yeah. Our version. Mm. What do you think?
There's nods to it.
Whereas Terminator Genesis is like, please love our Terminator franchise, I'm trying to resuscitate you. You like this, right? You like this bit, right? You like this in the first one? You like this? Oh my god, oh no, it's falling apart in my hands. Like it anyway, I'm going to keep chucking stuff at you.
Oh god.
That's what it's like.
So it's a wait for it to come on streaming services.
Yeah.
Don't rush
put
out
it
to
on
the
my
cinema.
List. And right. then just leave it.
And then when they announce another couple of movies,
at a certain point, take it off my list.
Right.
And pretend you've watched it.
Okay.
I think I would have been spitting absolute acid if this was Terminator 3. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, I see. Right, okay.
But because we've had such turds happen since, it's not good. And people are telling me that it's a worthy sequel, if you don't discount the last two. It really isn't, but it's... Mm. It's watchable and fine, you know. It's
more fun than Salvation. Mm. I think that's why some are defending it. Mm. But it's just as bad as Salvation.
Right.
It's just got more things to cling on to. If you know what I mean.
But I didn't really. I enjoyed it, but it's forgettable. So hence, it's a 6. I enjoyed my time watching it. I think. That's
yeah,
it, really.
It wasn't anything.
But it's just seeing another one of your franchises from your childhood getting kicked around again, you know.
Oh. It's like visiting your nan, who was once vital and full of life, who you loved dearly, but she's just not all there anymore. But she's still there, so you love her, but she's not all there anymore. So it's saddening. So you see,
but she just won't die,
and that's my review.
Even though that time you threw her in the lava and she stuck her thumb up.
Yeah, she's weirdly indestructible, my nana. I've been meaning to ask her about this.
Well, let's talk a bit about Arnie. I'm old, but I'm not. I can't remember what it was.
I'm old, but I'm not obsolete.
Yeah,
does he just not look
kind
ridiculous?
Of They kind of explain why he's aged, and
right.
I guess it's viable. I guess, but it still seems unnecessary.
But running around as that, does he?
It just seemed like an elaborate excuse to explain why Arnie might be in it.
Right.
It didn't seem remotely needed.
Okay.
For the film, but I would argue most of it wasn't needed. I don't know what they were doing with John Connor.
Mm.
I really don't. Right. I don't know what the point of any of the film is. They don't explain quite giant parts that I think need explaining.
Mm.
And I think they think this counts as some sort of semi-reboot.
Well, they've announced a couple more already.
They've
announced more.
I think if that's what that was terrible.
Mm. Right. So Andrew's gone 6. What are you going to go?
5 or 6.
Okay, so but yeah. it's an average, yeah.
It's an average film. I just hate it because I love Terminator.
Right.
Mm.
So it's more me being a bit like Andrew gets just with Jurassic 3. But it is a 5 or 6. It is fine. It just upsets me. Okay. It really annoyed me.
And Matt Smith's purpose is basically to stand around and look weird, I think.
Which he's good at.
He does. Well.
He is good at. Yeah, it doesn't look the weirdest in the film.
Mm.
That's Sean Connor.
Alright.
Yeah,
the other guy who in T2 looked like a lesbian. Yeah. And then in the third one looked like a cool sort of high school guy.
Oh, okay.
And then turned into Christian Bale. Oh, now he's a geography teacher.
Mm.
Right.
He is the guy from Planet of the Apes, isn't he, Dawn?
Yeah.
So it does sound like John Connor is in Quantum Leap. He's been a geography teacher, a lesbian, a cool kid. What next?
I didn't like anything they did with John Connor in this at all.
No.
To the point where I was rooting for the death of Sarah Connor and Kyle Reese, so he wouldn't happen.
I wouldn't happen.
Oh, God.
Which is never a good sign when you're watching Terminator.
Okay.
It's seen these sorry replacements, because even like Linda Hamilton. He's so strong in that
role. One of the best sort of strong female characters, especially in 80s cinema, and especially 90s cinema when she really toughens up. And here she's... I'd made a joke. She looked like Miley Cyrus running around pretending to be Linda Hamilton, and I really didn't buy any of it for a millisecond. And Jay Courtney's not a very good actor.
Okay. I'll just watch the Sarah Connor Chronicles then.
Instead.
Oh, yeah. I'll dig that out and add that to my list of stuff
I need to watch. I was profoundly just like numbingly. I just felt numb to it all while watching it. This is where we're at now. This is life.
Oh.
Nothing's as good.
Yeah.
Nothing's as good. Everyone's played by someone younger and not as good.
Yeah.
In a not as good plot. And I have to buy, and it has to happen.
And Arnie's getting old, and it's sad to see. But
yeah, somebody that was once up there.
Now he's running around with meerkats and things.
I prefer that advert.
Wow, okay.
In fact, say that, and actually, I don't like the meerkats, and for the past 50 years we've had meerkats, it feels like, on the TV. This is the first time we've actually enjoyed adverts with them in. Because Arnie's there, what the hell, I might as well.
If I had to grade all of Arnold Schwarzenegger's work, the meerkat advert would be one notch above Terminator Genesis.
Oh, good grief. Wow.
Just so we know. So we're all clear.
Throwing it there.
Don't say that too loud, because the studios might pick it up and actually make a movie.
Meerkat murders Terminator.
Don't wait a minute.
Don't even joke about it.
Andrew's got a new camera. That was an impression. Yeah. Hold on a minute. Simples.
Cool. No. So yeah, don't rush out to see that.
Okay.
I think we recommended a better film that came out this year at the start of this podcast.
Mm. I recommend you look up your local cinema listings of when it's on. And then make a point to be nowhere near the cinema and put Terminator 1 or 2 on, preferably both.
Back to back and enjoy yourself.
Yeah. And then if you want to watch free, you know, I can't stop you.
It'll be ruining you.
But by Salvation, you're like, you're on your own. Yeah. And then if you go to the cinema, then why are you blaming me? You've done this. I told you to stop at 2.
Just because you're
very clear.
Just because you're a completionist. Now.
It's time for the news, and it's Scott's turn.
What?
It's my turn.
Oh.
Now, Scott might sound a little weird, more weird than usual.
Yeah.
Because we are actually doing this via Skype, because we wanted to get the reaction of San Diego, all the great news to you, as soon as we could. So we're gathering here on Monday. As soon as we've done this, we're going to pump this out to you, and you can listen to what we thought, because you've all been waiting for what we have
to say.
Obviously,
The tweets are piling up now. Where's the news, boys?
Yes, exactly. In fact, your joke, but Paisley has been going, where's my weekly geek speak?
Nice.
Paisley Poosie at Paisley Bones.
Peasy Paisley.
So here we are. This is what we're doing. It's now like 4:30, and you'll be getting about 5:30, but then iTunes will get it on like Thursday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we'll be two podcasts weekly speak.
We're going to hand over to Scott for this because he's been gathering the news for us. There's so much great stuff. Where are you going to start us with, Scott?
Oh, there's so much. I think we should say now we're not going to cover all of it.
No.
It wouldn't be remotely possible.
No. We've allocated half an hour and we'd need like an hour and a half in a type podcast, I think.
Yeah, exactly. I could talk about one of these things for that long. So we'll just go through like some of the headlines, some of the interesting tidbits that were gleaned. Mm-hmm. Nice. And let's start with Fox. Foxy Fox.
Okay.
They released a X-Men Apocalypse trailer that's been put online. Did any of you guys see it, or were you good?
No.
You
know,
honestly, so much DC news, that's what's been taking me. But no, I haven't seen this. Tell us about it.
So I watched a naughty copy. It's probably not the most ideal way to watch it. But it's got a lot of the sort of, oh, look at all the characters we've got. Shots in the trailer, some cool voiceover from Apocalypse and stuff. Looks really interesting. The only criticism I have is Apocalypse looks slightly like a Power Ranger villain. Obviously, it might look better watching it as intended, because I've been a bit naughty this weekend. But it looks more like Ivan Ooze than how I'd want Apocalypse to look. But then he does look like he does in the comics. It just doesn't translate too well.
Does it have the feel of First Class and things? Is it that kind of feeling again?
Very Days of Future Pasty.
Yeah.
It's nothing to write home about, but it was just a little leaked fit. To be honest, this went under my radar. I've literally watched it before talking to you guys, because I was like, that happened as well? Because San Diego, it's just like someone pours loads of like letters on your doorstep, isn't it?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Like, oh, look at that. Oh, wow. Oh.
Well, that's it, because I honestly thought I'd watched everything before today, and the first thing you pull out is that, and I go, oh, my God, how did I miss that?
I didn't know that happened.
That's how much news has been coming out. But yeah, I'm glad it looks okay.
It certainly looks okay. I mean, we've all talked about X-Men, haven't we? We've got a lot of mixed feelings about the franchise. But this looks like a good ender for this sort of First Class Renaissance trilogy, if you want to call it that. It's probably strong words. But that was probably dwarfed by the Deadpool footage, if we're being honest with ourselves. Did you guys watch that?
I did see that. I've just watched that. Naughty again. I believe it's going to be a few weeks before it's actually released on time.
3 weeks, they've said.
I saw that, right.
But I loved how they actually focused on the scene, which was the test footage. It was a great way to have the first trailer to showcase, well, you saw this, you loved this, this is what it actually looks like, and it looks spot on. I love Ryan Reynolds as the Deadpool character. He seemed to have it down to a T.
Yeah,
the costume's perfect. It's not an adaptation of Deadpool's costume. It's not Fox doing what Fox usually does. It's actually doing Deadpool exactly how I want Deadpool to be. Language, violence, silly throwaway stupid lines. You look like an old avocado had sex with a new avocado.
which was brilliant.
It's spot on.
It's incredibly funny. It's incredibly pitch perfect in every way so far. I'm so encouraged by this, because whenever Fox's name is attached to anything, Fox is like an asterisk to be like, oh, well, it's not going to be good then.
Kind of immediately cringe,
Yeah,
because they just announce so much stuff that you just go, oh, they're doing that now. Oh, great, brilliant, yep.
Mm. It's like an asterisk that says, immediately lower your expectations.
Definitely.
but this, I'm so encouraged by this. There's even a Green Lantern piss take joke, isn't there?
What was that? I didn't pick up on that.
When he's like, he says he's going to design him a costume, and he went, well, just don't make it green or animated.
Nice. See, I haven't actually watched it because I didn't want to watch the naughty version. It didn't look... but I did read the transcript of it, and from what I read, it sounded really good. I'm going to hold off on this one. I've seen enough so far. I'm happy.
Well, my philosophy is always wait till they want you to see it officially and see it in the best way possible. But there were so many reactions to stuff this weekend, I could not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, and especially this one, because they had the crowd chanting one more time and stuff, and everyone went bananas for it. I had to cheat. We all had to cheat.
We all have to cheat sometimes.
Yeah,
we're humans.
It's true.
We're human beings.
Human beings.
We're nerds that need need these things.
Yeah.
We're in a society of immediateness.
Yeah, I want it now.
We're not getting it now.
3 weeks
so
time.
We watch a shitty version.
Yeah.
From the back of a hall.
Well, that's the thing. I'd seen a couple of shitty versions and I thought Deadpool's the one I really want to watch, so I'm going to wait.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you at all. I was holding off on the Suicide Squad one, but yeah. More on that later.
Yeah.
There was also a Fantastic Four panel, which, if I'm being completely honest with you, I have not heard anything remotely about.
Was it as exciting as the trailers for Fantastic Four was? Anyway, so nobody really cares.
Yeah, it's going for this weird sort of we're going to sneak up on you approach, I think, this Fantastic Four film. The only little tidbit I gleaned from it was Toby Kendall confirmed sort of that Doctor Doom is sort of a computer technician who works in the Baxter Building, which is interesting, isn't it? It's better than being like, you know, a tyrant of Latveria. He's a hacker.
Okay.
Something different. Yeah.
He's part of the IT crowd. So that'll be interesting. You know what I mean? Play that down. I don't know how to feel about Fantastic Four.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to it because I don't really have any stock in it. I'm just sort of, it looked all right from the trailers, and I'll go in without any expectations. And if it entertains me, it entertains me.
I went through a weird thing with it. The first one I thought was boring. The second one made me go, oh, they're doing something a bit different. And then the third one, I went, oh, this looks like everything else again.
Yeah, I kind of did the same. First one, I was like, vaguely intrigued, not telling me anything. Second one really sold me. And then this third one, I'm like, nah. It's what I think. It's what I thought originally. Fine.
Oh, I don't think I've seen the third one then, because I'm still in that. All right, maybe I'll see it.
I just don't really know what to expect, to be honest. Yeah. But what I am expecting is mediocrity.
Whilst we expect that, it can only probably be all right, can't it?
Exactly.
Not everyone has to knock your socks off, does it?
No.
It's maybe is playing a sensible game, not singing from the rooftops about it, and then hopefully thinking it's going to be a sleeper hit. But you can't. A sleeper hit will always be a natural thing that happens, not something you can create, I think.
Exactly, that is very well put indeed.
Definitely.
We got an Ash vs. Evil Dead trailer.
Now, I was very excited about this. I've watched it twice now. Steve's just watched it with us. It was a lovely three-way watching. Oh, Scott was just hearing it.
I was watching you guys react. It was beautiful.
I'm actually quite astonished with how well they've managed to replicate the original films. It almost looks like it's plucked straight from after the third film.
Yeah.
It's refreshing. I'm really happy with it because it's a completely ridiculous premise done with great practical special effects.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. And it looked spot on. It looked exactly how Sam Raimi left it. And I'd like the remake that they did a few years ago, but this is Evil Dead, you know? That one tried to play it sensibly and was a bit more, and it worked. But this, in my eyes, is something I never thought we'd get.
No.
You know? I think in so many times now that when people remake or return to something, it's either they try to overdo it or they try and make it something of its own, whereas this just feels like Sam Raimi's gone back and done exactly what he wanted to. Picked up where he left off, practically.
Definitely. I mean, that's the thing. Sometimes I remember hearing about it, and it's like it's going to be 10 episodes, and you think sometimes, like you say, people pick out elements that everybody liked, and they go, well, they like those bits. So, like we've spoke about in-betweeners, it's not it pales in comparison, but you know what I mean? They pick out the bits people like and go, right, we'll do this, and we'll ramp it up by 20. And actually, no, this looks amazing, like you said. And the effects, as soon as that head exploded, and it just looks amazing. You don't need buckets of gore and the right sound effects like we talked about with Andy Stewart
next week
but yeah.
So, yeah, something to look forward to. We do talk to Andy Stewart about practical effects. You can hear that. Steve is doing his mixing up time again. That's something to look forward to there. Tidbit.
You're absolutely spot on though. It was just pitch perfect. It was really, it was just so good to see Bruce Campbell do what Bruce Campbell does best in a tone and setting. And looks gory, looks funny, looks daft, is tonally just so spot on.
Mm.
And it's that same sort of silly, goofy humour. New characters. Ash is a bit older. I'm sure there'll be loads of jokes to that effect. And I'm just so ready for it. My body was just ready. Mm, do you know what I mean?
Definitely. But what I also like, and this sounds weird because he's quite out there as a character, but they've pulled Bruce Campbell back to where we left him, because now he's so over-characterised that when you look at My Name is Bruce and things, it's just a massive caricature of Ash.
Yeah.
Whereas this feels like they have actually reined him back to being Ash. They're not going uber Ash. They're not doing like Dumb and Dumber 2, where it's like those same characters. But
which was a danger. Now you're pointing out,
But yeah, good.
Definitely up for that.
Very excited with that. Something that we've been kind of scratching our heads over, I think, whenever it comes up in the news. Like, we don't really know how this is going to go, but it seems spot on.
My excitement went like. Suddenly, a trailer makes something real, doesn't
it? Definitely.
We've talked about this so much, and we've been like curious, and we've been vaguely excited. Mm. But you don't know what you're excited for. You just have vaguely. And then a trailer happens, and then you're like, "I'm ready."
Yeah,
bring it on.
Because even the teaser didn't give much away. It was just a chainsaw noise, and I'm back, baby. And then coming soon, it's like that gives nothing away.
That's just all I needed.
Exactly, but then seeing this is just like full on in your face. Yes, this is how it's going to be. Loved it.
Yeah,
looked amazing.
Brilliant.
Oh yes.
We've got some DC news, but before we get to that, I think it's probably worth touching upon. I don't know if anyone saw any of it, but there were a Star Wars panel. I don't know if people are interested in that there.
No, nobody likes Star Wars. It was that thing from the 70s. They did some shitty...
Yeah, it's just some...
that bloke had asthma.
That
little green frog, that guy that was ripping off Kermit.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, it was a bit much, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I have to say, the behind-the-scenes video...
Beautiful.
It was beautiful, and Steve said to me, "I don't want to watch it.
I was worried.
It's scary." But I actually—that does not mean taking the piss out of Steve. I just like to do silly voices. But I said, "Steve, don't worry, because everything that you see in this behind-the-scenes video is actually behind the scenes from the trailer, practically."
Yeah.
It was basically just saying, "Look, everything that we can do practically, we're doing practically.
Yeah.
If we're going to record in a desert, we want to record in a desert." What got me the most excited was seeing the cockpit of the Millennium Falcon on an arm that they actually remote control.
Incredible.
I don't know. It's refreshing to see that, I think. You saw a set. You never see a set.
No, you don't.
It was just so beautiful, because how often have we talked about the virtues of practical effects and their superiority in CGI? And then just to see these proper sets and these proper built things made with so much love and enthusiasm just makes it real, doesn't it? And it just looks so beautiful. I don't even need to see a film. They could just open a weird Star Wars theme park where I can walk around, and it'd be beautiful. I didn't even mind seeing Simon Pegg, which is how you know it was beautiful. But I don't think there were much else other than this.
I don't know. I think the highlight was apparently like one of the stories I found said the highlight was a surprise appearance of Harrison Ford reflecting on the movies, and he just sort of said it should have felt ridiculous about his return to playing Han Solo all this time later on, and 30 years ago he sort of grew up, and yet was doing something he did so long ago, and I tell you it felt great, and apparently he came on to a huge. A standing ovation. Everyone was like, "It's Harrison." Pretty much how we discussed when we first saw the trailer. We watched it. We're like, "Amazing!" And it's just that bit at the end with Chewie. We're home. Like, "Oh, he's in it! Amazing!" Mm. I think, he got a good reaction.
Although it's funny, isn't it? Because he did return to a character he played like 20 or 30 years in the past before, and we didn't react like this, did we?
No, exactly.
But I think it is exactly the fact that J.J. Abrams is showing that. He's doing everything right, and the more you see is right. And what I really like, actually, is this whole Star Wars film might be set on a sand planet. I don't think it will, but it's all we're really seeing at the moment.
And so I like that. Yeah.
I don't want to know where this film goes. I'm really reluctant to see any more trailers, so I hope they stick with this, because it's really good. But the fact that we're in July now, and it comes out in December, and they're still only showing these snippets. Yeah. I hope they stick with that. I really do.
Definitely. I really do. You had us at Star Wars. I don't need to see anything. So we've held it back, haven't we? Let's get to DC and probably the biggest news. Batman is going to cross over with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. He's done some crossovers before.
I heard
before.
About that.
Judge Dredd, I particularly enjoyed when he crossed over the Judge Dredd.
I love crossovers. Any sort of amalgam crossover title. They're all stupid, but they're all wonderful at the same time.
Yeah, it's fun. It's silly. I hope the art's good, because that's half the joy of these things.
Yeah. The new Turtles artwork's pretty sweet, from what I've seen the pictures.
I just want a panel where Batman and the Turtles go out to fight probably some weird combination of Joker and Shredder. And then it's just Alfred and Splinter stood side by side awkwardly chit-chatting in the sewer. If I get that, I'll buy it.
Oh, I think you're buying it anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're you know there. What I'm on.
Scooby-Doo and Batman next.
Oh, God.
they've done that.
What?
They've already done that, Steve.
Oh, shit, okay.
There's an animated film called Batman Meets Scooby-Doo.
Oh, gosh, right, okay.
It's available for £3.
All right.
True story.
Okay.
I'll lend it you if you want. I've got it.
Cheers, I think.
Bruce Timm announced they're going to do an animated version of The Killing Joke.
This is amazing. I mean, this is not surprising news, but it's news that anyone who's been an animated fan, and I think over the past few years, the fact that they've been animating these great stories, Under the Red Hood is what we spoke about only the other day.
Yep.
They've gone a bit staley, a bit more, I think, recently, though, so I hope it's a good version, because you were saying Year One is just an adaptation literally off the page, and I think Son of Batman was fine, but nothing special. Now, I know we're having Batman versus Robin, aren't we, soon? Is that right?
We've had it.
Has it come out now?
Okay.
But the Killing Joke, going to visit that property, is so exciting, I think. I'm interested to see who's doing it.
Bruce Timm will be overviewing it like he does a lot of the others. I don't know specific sort of director or whatever. But I love these DC straight-to-DVD animated films. And a lot of them take some of the more, awkward sort of comic book gimmicky storyline to make it quite a talk good film. I always think some of the best ones have done is stuff like Under the Red Hood and Flashpoint Paradox and Superman Doomsday, where the actual comic versions are a bit of a mess, but they make a really great film out of it. But they've also had great success adapting some of the classic ones like Dark Knight Returns and All-Star Superman and stuff, and they're brilliant as well, because you're seeing one of your favourite comics come to life. And Year One just felt a bit too much like I was watching those motion comics or sort of, have you ever seen them on like Netflix and stuff?
I know you've spoke about them in the past. I'm intrigued.
They're like this awkward middle ground between animation and reading.
Right.
That doesn't satisfy you either way.
Okay, because it's not animated enough to be a cartoon, but you're not turning the pages of a comic, you know.
Yeah,
okay.
It's just really odd. It's just like the panels are moving about for you as someone reads to you.
I think
this one is, I know we got, I saw this news from The Flickist at The Flickist, and I know Wilbro Jr. got really excited about it. This news about The Killing Joke was actually one that seemed to catch people. One of the highest comments we got on our Twitter was about this, The Killing Joke. So that's really exciting. I'm glad that animated movies are getting this much energy.
Definitely.
Well, it's such a classic Batman story, and it's a staple. I'm pretty sure every Batman fan, casual or otherwise, but this is one of the first books you pick up. Yeah. Pretty sure it's one of the first I ever bought. So to see that in all its glory, and we all know there's some choice bits that will be cool animated. Just a little tidbit of Green Lantern's apparently called Green Lantern Corps, which kind of brings some credence to the rumour. It'll be more than just Hal and or John Stewart, which is interesting.
Seems a logical way to go to differentiate itself from the last one.
Yes.
I like the idea, though. I do... like that they're perhaps giving a bit of an education to people on the Green Lantern Corps, and there's more than one, and that this, I don't know.
It's like the fact that they're interchangeable as well, so it's not going to be the same actor who crops up maybe as guest appearances in films. It could be any one of them.
Mm.
Well, what differentiates Green Lantern from others is, other than the fact you can play in space and have epic space opera and larger than life sort of conceptual cosmic wars, is the fact that essentially they're space cops.
Right.
So you've got a whole different thing to play with. You can do the sort of buddy cop thing. You can do it like a Training Day type film. Just set it in space with weird aliens, and you're there. And then Suicide Squad. It was a bit of footage, weren't there?
That was I think that was put on as a bit of a surprise, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I again, only viewable in naughty ways.
Yes.
but it. And this is one I really want to see properly, to be honest. Because you see people walking around, you see an introduction to the Suicide Squad. I really liked that the lines felt lifted from the comic book. Like, are we just their patsies, you know, are we a Suicide Squad? And that may sound cheesy, but to hear that line is really good. I loved seeing Deadshot. He looked cool. Harley Quinn looks spot on.
Yeah, she proved it, yeah.
But people weren't really talking about that, were they?
No, they weren't.
Yeah, well, I needed to see it because, I mean, it's the first glimpse of the Joker, and if I didn't watch it, I'm just going to hear about it constantly and not have an opinion myself, which feels wrong.
Yeah.
So I watched it. I really liked the sort of set-up premise line from Amanda Waller talking to, like, the senator or the general or whatever it is. I didn't get too much from the glimpses of the Suicide Squad themselves. Mm. Maybe it was the quality of the leak or...
I think so.
But I was just like, yeah, cool, a lot of things I've vaguely seen, but I couldn't pick up too much. But yeah, the money shot at the end, of Jared Leto's Joker looks scary, sinister.
It does. It actually, because even though when the image was released, we were like, give it a chance and things. You do have that little niggle in the back of your head going,
yeah,
I hope they're not going down the route that this image would indicate, but we don't know really the route they're actually going, because we're only seeing a snapshot, which is thrown together for the birthday of the Joker, whatever it was. But to actually see him in action, I think, and I'll be saying this later on in the Batman vs Superman trailer, but this Joker, because I always say it, I've never seen a Joker on film that feels like the Joker I read. And the one line we're getting from him, the camera swinging and the maniacal laughing and the kind of wide eyes, there's something very comic book about it that I really love.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's only a snippet, but there was something in those few moments that went, I actually am beginning to feel this now.
Mm.
Yeah, certainly, yeah. I couldn't agree more.
Definitely.
I mean, that's all good. We've eaten our greens now. Are you ready for some motherfucking steak and dessert? Are you ready?
I just wanted to add that the laugh, the second you heard that laugh, it was like, okay. Yeah, like the voice as well.
One good thing about watching the naughty videos, as we've dubbed them, is hearing the crowd reaction.
Yes.
Because there's something, like, really you feel the buzz when that laugh, that noise, and everyone's like, oh shit, we're gonna see him, you know.
Yeah,
and it was awesome.
Yeah,
I've been watching some panels on YouTube of, like, I watched, like, the Sherlock panel, and I watched, like, all the Warner Brothers panel and stuff, and I always find it really awkward because obviously you'll have like 8 to 10 stars of a TV show or film, and then they're like, I'm gonna just pick Batman vs Superman as an example. And Batman's Ben Affleck, crowd goes mental. Henry Cavill, Superman, crowd goes mental. Amy Adams is always saying, crowd kind of likes it. And the producer, and then everyone's like, And I always feel, I always die a bit inside, like, oh, give him a cheer. Is it wrong?
That's the nature of fame.
Yeah.
It is, but... anyway.
Let's do it. Let's get it on.
Let's do it.
Let's do this, baby. Oh. So we had a Batman vs Superman teaser not long ago. Okay, it came hot on the heels of the Star Wars one. I think
it's boring.
Don't like it.
Yeah, I think coming so soon after this sort of little boy joyous moment of seeing the Star Wars one, with the fact it was like a mood setting teaser trailer, it let a few people down. I liked it because it did what it should.
Mm-hmm.
It's, told you
a year away. Yeah, it is.
A year away from a film, it went. It teased some themes. It gave you. It just.
But what it was doing, we've got to remember, is it was addressing the fans of Man of Steel. It was addressing the people that were already on board. Yeah. It's not for it was not to convince the Marvel fans. It was there for the people who were already on board, I think. It was for the people to go, oh, we're still getting an in-depth look at these characters. It's a character study. Here's Jesus. Here's the guy who doesn't think he should be... It was that. But this one really felt like it was going to sell itself. Sorry. Oh, back to you, Scott.
Definitely.
No, you're absolutely right. And if that one was to just set it down and tease, this one was to pick you up, slap you across the face 8 times and say, this is why you should watch this film.
Definitely.
Because, honestly, my brain feels like it can't process the amount of information I got.
But what I really liked about it is what we were shown wasn't feeling like they were showing you everything. It was showing you how much of a embroidered, beautiful piece of art that this could potentially be.
Yep.
First off, I have to say, we've been talking Man of Steel a lot, and it's fair to say that me and you, Scott, are pro Man of Steel and Steve isn't. But the thing is that Man of Steel split people. But the arguments people have for it splitting people, why didn't they care about the people in the buildings? Mm. Why did Superman kill someone? Mm-hmm. And why Superman heralded as Jesus?
Yeah.
Are three of the main themes in this trailer alone.
Yep. Yeah.
I think Man of Steel will play 10 times better after this film.
I think, immediately, one thing that made me... I have always said I've never seen a Bruce Wayne on celluloid that I feel is like the Bruce Wayne I read in the comics. As I was saying earlier, the Joker feels more like a comic book one. But Bruce Wayne in particular, Ben Affleck looks and feels in this trailer about the Batman I watched on TV in the animated series, the one I read in the comics, the one I picture in my mind's eye when I read Bruce Wayne. Mm. He's socially awkward, he's insular, and he's angry.
Yeah,
and definitely. But he's good. Through and through, he's so good that he even does the wrong things because he's so good. Running into the building coming down and saving a child and angrily staring at the building. And you kind of felt from Alfred and Wonder Woman, the people around him going, we know, but just step back a minute. And Batman's like, fuck this, no. And it's getting these things from Batman. Seeing Bruce Wayne in particular really got my...
And Alfred was amazing as well.
Yeah, interesting.
Alfred looked really good. So, different take on Alfred.
Someone's put a gif of that, of Bruce Wayne seeing the building be brought down by heat vision, with shot of Zod firing heat vision in the building, and it syncs perfectly.
Oh, it's beautiful.
So it's Zod who knocks that building down, and this is happening when Superman fought Zod.
Mm. Amazing.
But that's a level of detail that is just beautiful when it works.
The fact that we're already seeing that half the people in the world have condemned him and half the people are looking up to him. Again, we got that from the first trailer. But I really like seeing a certain costume with certain spray paint on it.
Yes.
Oh, definitely. I mean, what did this for me is it teased some story points and it teased the world that it's setting and creating, but it didn't give too much away. But just that shot of that Robin costume with that Joker graffiti, and we know as comic fans, we know what that means.
Yeah.
We know what happened.
It explains a lot about Bruce Wayne's character in this point, why he's so angry.
Yeah.
And the line, I've been doing this for 20 years, only people left are the good guys, I'm not having that change, shows that he's done it. He's got everything we've read in the comics is done. And we're at a point now where Bruce Wayne is just... so, visioned, isn't he? He's, got such a tunnel vision on it. It explains a lot about it.
Definitely.
I can't believe how much you actually get from this trailer.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Oh, it's just beautiful. It's just a feast. And I mean, it's been my big fanboy speculation for the plot, but we saw Zod's body.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, confirms my theory. I popped big for that.
And Jesse Eisenberg as... as he is, mild-mannered, softly spoken, but...
The red capes are coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The red capes
are coming. And his hair. Just things like, how is he going to lose that hair? There's that big ball of kryptonite he's got. He's completely pulling the strings, as we expected, as the synopsis said as well. But having
he's
that...
He's charismatic, but not campy, necessarily.
Yeah.
He doesn't feel like an arch-villain sitting back going, fight for my amusement, I want real estate. He just seems like...
And yeah, exactly.
He's just clever and knows what he wants and he's going to get it.
And the other thing is, this, more than anything, in this two-minute trailer, told me, because another complaint that the people have is, how are they going to get that many characters in there? Didn't this trailer, in the 2-3 minutes... show all the storylines of each character already weaving into each other. Isn't there so much going on
it's
here?
It's amazing.
Isn't this nice?
Well, with all due respect to stuff like that, is if, when you watch the first Avengers film, you don't have to watch any of the 5 set-up films.
Yeah.
And they integrate twice as many characters in what I'm told is well circumstances by the consensus. And you watch The Dark Knight, there's fucking shit ton of characters, but when you have a story that supports them, but people think it's cynically done backwards, like, we're adding this character, we'll just crowbar it in somewhere. No, sometimes it's a story that just happens to lend itself to these characters rather than it be backwards. So I can see why that was a concern, but I think this trailer shows people were over-concerned and it's just a bit of weird anti-DC sentiment because the perception is that they've been sat on their arse for 80 years and now a copy of Marvel, as if they haven't made, like, 8 or 9 Batman films before, and 6 Superman films, and, you know. And Wonder Woman. We've not even talked Wonder Woman.
What did you think? She looked incredible.
She seems to be the balance in the middle. She's the one looking, trying to hold these two nutcases down as they're going to go.
She looks like she gets in a skirmish with something powerful.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think she'll play a good role in there. I think she's a needed role if she's not elbowed in. But yeah.
I have to say, based on the stuff, because obviously we've been you guys have been talking Batman because you know a lot more from the comics and the graphic novels that you guys have read. And so obviously picking up on all that, having seen this trailer now, I was a bit, I don't know, it's coming out, I'll see it and talk to you guys about it. But now I'm a bit like, shit, I want to see this film. Oh my God, yes. I read into all the little bits and picked up on all the things based on what I've heard you guys talk about. So I'm like, I'm a lot more sort of excited by it now than I was a couple of weeks ago. So I mean, it really got my attention.
A lot of the sort of story hints and world building nods and sort of teasy stuff was all brilliant. But to be honest, the two standout things that sell this film for me is there's a shot where Batman is holding himself against the edge of a building, where his pose is very Dark Knight Returns, and it's thundering, and Superman fires a heat beam, and he glides, he fires his sort of grapple gun and glides away like Batman the Animated Series style and misses it. Now that is so fucking comic book badass, you never thought you'd see it. Do you know what I mean? That had me weirdly stoked. And then just at the end when Superman just rips the Batmobile apart, and Batman stands up undeterred. I mean, you just sell it off. You could have just shown me that. And it's like,
it's Batman for me. Everything I took from that trailer was Batman. This so angry, arrogant, a Batman we haven't seen before. And I think that's it. We've had all kinds of Batmans on film, but this is really a Batman we have never seen on film. It is the Batman from the Dark Knight Returns graphic novels, and that just makes me so excited.
I mean, I'm a huge Marvel fan. I think their formula's brilliant. I like the tone of their films, and I think that's amazing for Marvel, and I'll watch them forever. But was like, it's DC or a different company that have different formula, and yeah, they're having a quote-unquote shared universe, but that's because they have a shared universe in the comics as well, which they had before Marvel. And the reason I always gravitate to DC is that they have richer mythologies, whereas I don't mind if Marvel wants to say they've got richer characters, that's fine, because that's their perception. But DC have richer mythologies, and that works better for when you're putting them together in a sort of epic story of this magnitude, a bit like Identity Crisis we were talking about, weren't we?
I think as well, I apologise for my mocking tones of people asking questions about this film. You're granted to your opinion if that's how you feel, but I think there surely is enough in this trailer to show that it's not what you think it is.
Definitely.
I know there's negative Zack Snyder feelings from some of his previous films. He is very style over substance, but I personally, I really like Watchmen, and I like Man of Steel. I think he does a good enough job with superheroes.
But
I think,
who is not style over substance is Chris Terrio, who's written it.
Yeah.
And Ben Affleck, who, make no mistake about it, is a big voice in this film, I think. Yeah.
Can we say as well, because we haven't had a chance to talk about it, but Batman, Ben Affleck supposedly is taking on the first Batman film, is that right?
Yeah, well, as soon as he was cast, it was my first thought, to be honest. I went, he looks the part, he's a very capable actor, but more so, you're getting one of... He'd have probably been in my top five director choices, if you'd have asked. Admittedly, I wouldn't have put him in my top five acting choices, but just because I wasn't thinking of him in that way. I think that's perfect. Geoff Johns writing it, I'm not sure about, because that news came literally a week after I pointed out I don't like how Geoff Johns writes.
But I suppose if he's getting established now in Batman vs Superman and Suicide Squad to a degree, at least you've got the base there.
Yeah, you've got the base. Yeah. There'll be Chris Terrio working on it as well. You'll have Ben Affleck, who's the main say-so, because it'll be his film. And also, because it's a movie, that's a whole different avenue than comics. So it'll be about playing him up rather than playing him down, because it's a film, isn't it? So I'm in. I mean, we're on what? This is the eighth Batman film we've had in our lifetimes. And we've just heard there's going to be a ninth. He's also in Suicide Squad. God willing, there'll be 8, 9, 10 more in our lifetimes as well. Let's just enjoy the ride, people. This looks different.
Definitely.
It looks cool. It looks very fidelic, very faithful to what we've read in the past. And I'm so stoked, man. even super desert Batman, Desert Storm Batman.
That's an interesting shot, wasn't it?
I didn't know what to make of that at first, but weirdly, it reminded me of those weird Batman figures you get when it's like scuba diving, Dark Knight Returns Batman, and you're like, I don't remember him scuba diving.
There was like Cyberbox Batman one I saw once. It's like, what the hell is a Cyberbox Batman?
I
don't care, I want it.
But I definitely want to buy Desert Storm Batman.
Definitely. We're heading well over time now.
I'm sorry,
but it had to happen, didn't it? I mean, I think it was actually, I hope it was a nice decision by Marvel Studios to step aside for this one and see how DC basically took this San Diego. I think DC have actually timed this quite well as well. Warner Brothers have timed it really well for when it can come in. I think it's great to see everything, really. It's great to see now that we complain about Fox, but even they're going somewhere exciting with Deadpool.
Definitely.
Marvel last year laid out an amazing slate, and now we're actually seeing that Batman vs Superman might have actually a lot more to it than we initially thought.
Yeah.
Just as we were saying, do you think we'll get fed up with all these superhero films?
Yeah.
It seems now that they're taking it to a new level.
Definitely.
But people haven't been... I mean, since Superman debuted in like 1938 or whatever, we've not been bored of Superman.
No.
It's still Superman comics.
Yeah.
Batman's been in existence 76 years now. He's probably the most well-reproduced, remade, rebooted, told I can't imagine there's more stories about anyone more than Batman.
And Spider-Man has just taken over as well. I mean, he's had how many films in the past 10 years? I mean,
yes.
Exactly. But the key to making these vile, the key to, because there's universal things that will always live on and people love these characters, but it's the malleability, it's the fact that you're not watching this, it's not like when you're watching Bond films and there's a formula and you're bored. The thing that'll keep these things fresh is always do something different.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch another. The Dark Knight's my favourite film ever. It's the best Batman film ever made. I don't want to watch that again.
Yeah, you've got that.
We've got that.
That's there.
Do you know what I mean? That happened. Yeah. Someone made the perfect crime drama realistic version of Batman. That's done. Make it different. And this looks different. World's different from everything we've had before in exciting way.
How would people feel if... Because I personally think that Sam Raimi's Spider-Man and The Amazing Spider-Man, there's not enough different in there.
No.
And people immediately saw through that. And that's why I think this franchise has had back. I think if you had another thing trying to be The Dark Knight, it would fail immediately. That's why I think this is so good.
Whereas maybe if you had something a bit more radically different and then Amazing Spider-Man came along next, maybe people would be refreshed that it went back a dial.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's all ebbs and flows, but you've got to evolve, you've got to change, you've got to do different. That's why when people are bitching about Batman and Jokers, I'm like, it's different.
Yeah.
There'll be another one.
Just pick up a stack of... pick up 10 Batman graphic novels and read them. And every Joker and every Batman will be very, very...
Exactly. Exactly.
It's the world of superheroes. It's what makes them great. But anyway, the day that DC took San Diego, the day that DC took the world, really, in the film sense,
they put the
in a sea of Marvel, DC stood up at this point and said, we're coming. And this I think it's great. Doing. I think we're in for a treat on both halves, on every front with these, with Marvel, with DC, with Fox. We're actually moving somewhere interesting.
Definitely.
And it's great to see.
It is good.
Oh, I didn't even touch on Arrow and Flash. New costumes, villains,
Walking
and all
Dead
that.
As well.
God, yeah.
So much to go.
Yeah.
Sherlock.
Goonies 2. Goonies 2.
Goonies 2, oh yeah.
What?
Goonies 2.
Yeah.
Goonies 2.
Yeah.
Steve's bringing it for a decommend.
Yeah.
Can we do that before it's been made?
Yeah, I'm decommending it now. There's a script been around a while, and they've mentioned they might do it. It's going to be a group of new kids that are the sons and daughters of the original cast, so Sean Astin, Josh Brolin, Corey Feldman, Kerry Green, Martha Plimpton. And they've all said, yeah, we might come back. And whilst Richard Donner was signing autographs in the street the other day, one of the reporters just said to him, so are you making another comic book movie? To which he replied, if you call Goonies a comic book movie, then yes, we're doing a sequel.
Oh dear. I think we'll leave it on that low point. Oh, it's the end of the show.
Oh.
We've been to San Diego. We've been to 1984.
Well, 1984 is the first one, 1997 is the second one.
And we've been to Australia in the future when it was chaos. Pretty similar to now. but now it's time to go to the great book. A book I wrote with my sister when I was just a baby boy. Well, 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 or 11 or 15 or 18.
Definitely one of them.
But there's a book, stories that I wrote with my sister, loosely based on the Goosebumps stories. Which
you put that together before?
No.
Is that why it's called Bumpy Goose?
Might be. Goosebumps got a trailer, didn't it?
It did. I haven't seen it yet.
But I think ABH Pod will be looking at it. They've been doing book clubs on Night of the Living Dead.
Oh,
great
cool.
Listens. They pull it apart while still being aware that it's a children's book. You know,
right.
It's quite funny to listen to, but just check them out.
Can we recreate the Goosebumps trailer as Bumpy Goose characters?
That's what we were saying.
Yeah, because I was saying James should do the poster. Having seen the poster last night, James should draw the poster for us with us as the Bumpy and all the Bumpy Goose characters in the background.
Oh, God.
Which would be amazing.
And we're having one of the classic characters from Bumpy Goose return again as we encounter the Eliumber in the garden.
Oh, no!
Hey!
You know I don't like the Eliumber. No, I don't like... I miss the hearse pipe. The hearse pipe's not threatening.
This one's called The Eliumber in the Garden.
Oh, no.
Oh, wait for it. Declan was in the front room waiting for his friend.
His friend just going to walk into the house?
No, but Declan. Declan yes. What?
Declan, just Declan. But just like, oh. Read on.
Oh. Like Madonna or Elvis.
Okay.
Just go
it's
it.
Not got a surname. I'm just a bit... Ooh, okay. Doesn't need one. Waiting for his friend, Anthony.
Anton Deck!
Oh!
Oh, God.
We love, we love a bit of Anton Deck. It must be a wacky Saturday night takeaway time. Because they never get old, do they?
They don't. They literally don't.
No, ever.
They have no age.
They
no.
don't age.
They're freaks. They're robots. Maybe they're Terminators.
Maybe they are.
Can you imagine them two running down the road at you?
Skynet's trying a new tactic to kill us with banality.
Anthony. Ant was coming to play at 11:30. Declan was bored. His mum was flicking through a holiday brochure.
Brochure.
I like it.
Well, I got really excited when he said his mum was flicking.
Yeah.
Feeling quite innocently.
Deck, if you're bored, go and play in the garden for a bit, she told
that's
him.
That's not Geordie.
She
enough.
Needs to be Geordie. Deck, if you're bored... Ah, that's Scottish. Like, oh, fuck.
Go on, you're
Geordie.
I
forgot how to speak.
Think Ant and Deck.
Can you do it, man? Deck, if you're bored, go and play in the... That's... I can't... Why can't...
Do an Ant and Deck voice. You can do it without the highness.
How are you, man? I'm going down the grove. If you're bored, go and play in the garden for a bit, she told him.
That's better.
Look here, what is the time? Deck asked. 11:22. The time is 11:22.
No, I feel like I'm a big brother.
Deck, the time is 11:22. No. Ant and Deck are in the garden. Deckman is bored. Ant's mum is flicking through a holiday brochure.
Brochure.
Oh, now, out you go. Everyone's just going to be deep voiced.
Because you can't do any of that.
It's fine. It's fine, absolutely.
Now, out you go. Can't do it.
Do Sarah Millican, that's what she's here.
Oh, now out you go.
Now, I feel like I'm in Miss Doubtfire now. I don't like it.
Out you go. My default old lady voice comes out when I do that. It's strange. Anyway, Declan...
You've definitely gone Scottish again.
I've gone Scottish.
Stop going north of the border.
Declan wandered out. He chucked his boomerang. It went into the pond.
Oh, dear.
Now, what shall I do? He said to himself.
Retrieve it.
He found
obviously.
Some... How big's the pond?
Well, what's the biggest
pond? Because I'd probably give up. And plus, boomerangs are really, like, rubbish toys when you're a kid. Because in theory, it's amazing, but you can never get them to throw.
No.
And when you don't learn after three throws, what's the point?
Yeah. But you can't have it just sit in the pool. What about the koi and the...
It doesn't really matter.
The frogs.
So... He found some lug bugs and started flicking them around the bird
what's
table.
What's a lug bug?
A lug bug.
What's a lug bug?
It's when I used to... Lug bug came from when I used to go in my my sleeping bag and like squirm around. I was a lug bug.
He found some tiny Andrews in sleeping bags.
And flicked them around.
Someone... it's almost like an Alice in Wonderland like world, isn't it?
It is.
I'm going to get a head injury one day and wake up in this weird Bumpy Goose universe where there's little Andrew bugs and fucking Eliumbus.
There was a very loud knock at the door.
Oh.
Yay, Ant has come, Declan shouted.
I thought you were already here.
No, he was waiting for him.
He was waiting for him. Deck opened the door, but to his shock and horror, .. there's about 12 ellipses. Eliumba.
No. Shut that door. Shut it down.
It wasn't Ant, it was an Eliumba.
Shut the door.
Oh, no, shouted Deck. Eliumba.
Tell me you shut the door.
It got Declan.
No!
The end.
No, it's horrible. What if it comes for me?
And you know what's even scary about these books? And it was purposeful decision by my sister. You never know what one looks like.
I like it.
In your imagination.
Yeah, I like that one.
Eliumba.
No.
Eliumba.
I don't like it.
Eliumba.
Let's stop that.
The Eliumba in the garden.
He's the only one killing in this universe. like all of them are like mischievous scamps and wacky hijinks. And then the Eliumba comes and fucking murders you. It's horrible.
So that was it. That's Bumper Goose for this week. I've cut myself somehow.
The Bumper Goose book fights back.
What time is it, Steve?
Hey, it's time for This Week the Geeks Have Spoken.
Yay.
Nice. thank you, as always, for your tweets, three-word reviews, interactions, reviews, and whatnot. Greatly appreciate it. Keep them coming in.
Can I throw in an apology?
You can.
On behalf of Weekly Geek Speak for not ripping the gang leader.
Yeah.
About his gang leader status last week. It's terrible, isn't it?
Yeah.
Luke Pietnik, at Luke Pietnik. We apologise. If we have you on again, we'll definitely be more mean to you.
Mercilessly rip you.
We were really nice to him. What was wrong with
him? Yeah, that was weird. Not that nice to me.
Oh,
we are.
We are.
Oh. Now shut up and listen.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll start, as always, with the three-word reviews and Pete Buschbauer at Popular Outcast. The
it's been storming, I've got to say. Yeah. I think us talking about him, well, he's been ramping up. I think he's on Steve's side.
He's up to a notch.
Team Steve, isn't he?
He's up to a notch. Pete, you're doing well.
We might have to
he's,
offer him a deal.
270.
Can you imagine? We're all private messaging him.
He's 274 films so far.
Oh, Jesus.
He's caning through. So,
how many do you think he'll do by the end of the year?
By the end of the year, well, he set the target. When he worked out the maths, he said he's gonna up it and try for 500.
Or is that why he's gone up a gear?
Possibly. He's done the maths now and thought, fuck it, I'll go for 500. If he's on nearly 300 and we're not even halfway through the year.
We're over halfway
I'm quite impressed with him. I think he's going to do it.
He is. He's smashing through it. So good work, Pete.
I'm going to go 524.
He also sent me the Goosebump wiki to finally get to the bottom of what Goosebumps book I keep referring to.
Did you find which
and one? I'm pretty sure now, I had my suspicions, but after this tweet correspondence, I'm pretty sure I had the little comic book Shop of Horrors or whatever it's called, and the Mass Mutant book, and at some point in time I've merged them
in your head.
Yeah, right. So I keep thinking of the Mass Mutant, but because it wasn't a pick your own story,
right,
confusing it with the other one I had.
Mm. Ah, okay.
That's what I think I've done.
Okay, that's good though.
It's good that solved. I know. Mystery I feel solved. Like I know now.
Yeah. Thanks, Pete. Thank you, Pete. Mystery solved.
Thanks.
So, 2001, A Space Odyssey, which I've never seen, still holds up 8 out of 10.
It's one of the cinema's classics.
Mm-hmm. It's a good Bowie song.
Yeah. Mad Max 2, Road Warrior, post-apocalyptic classic.
I'm already predicting the tweets for that joke. I know. It was for the joke purposes. Save your tweeting. So, Mad Max 2 Road.
Yeah, post-apocalyptic classic. 7 out of 10.
I've not seen it still, but
I'm there with him.
It's the film you all tell me I should watch.
Having seen this, you should go back now and you'll see the origins.
If it's more Fury Road than the first one, I'll enjoy it.
Much, definitely so. Jupiter Ascending. Call me Jupe. 5 out of 10.
I thought that looked terrible.
Yeah, same here.
It didn't look
very
good.
I can't be bothered with it at all.
No, this is one I agree with. Grandma's Boy, Gaming and Weed. 7 out of 10. Amusing comedy. It's funny, silly.
Never heard of it.
It's good. I've seen it a few times. I'd go 7. Strong 7. Funny. Teeth, Vagina Dentata Vigilante. 8 out of 10.
It's a scary premise.
It is.
It's a very, good film. Very, very scary.
I've watched it for years. It scared me off the vaginas.
Yeah.
That's my excuse.
That's mine too. Chronicon episode 420, A New Dope. Smoked Up Comic Con. 7
is that
out
the
10.
New Doug Benson?
I'm not sure. I was going to ask if anybody knew.
Because Doug Benson, he copies all of what's it called? Morgan Spurlock, isn't it?
Yeah. Right, yeah.
He copies all his documentaries and does a version of it about weed. So he did Super High Me.
Right,
Super Size Me.
Okay.
So I think that's the latest one, because Morgan Spurlock did a Comic Con one, didn't he?
Yeah.
Mm. If I'm right, I might be
right. So, cool. Hollow Spy, at Hollow Spy. Terminator Genesis, Erase from History, 4 out of 10.
I'm there with you.
And Bob, at Bobus Maximus, Arnold's back. Hurrah. Heart smiley face.
He never really left.
And
he did for a little bit, didn't he, when he was governor? He didn't do any movies there.
For a while. No, but I'm not even glad he's back. What's he done since he came back?
We ran around with Johnny Knoxville.
Was in The Expendables? Oh, that was terrible. I turned that off.
I don't think it ever
was. Nolan... Oh, sorry.
Last Stand, was that?
Yeah, The Last Stand. Awful.
Some of the things thrown in there. Although he teamed up with Escape Plan, was it? With Stallone?
Yeah, that wasn't bad.
What is the latest good Arnie film, though?
Commando.
The 80s.
Because even like Erasure, towards the end of his 90s run, they were getting a bit shonky.
I think like End of Days was all right.
I don't know.
We're talking early noughties at best, aren't we?
Yeah.
And then it was Collateral Damage, which was forgettable. And Sixth Day, which
True
was
Lies?
Bad.
Yeah.
True Lies was great.
Was good.
That was but 97.
I was going to say, I can't think.
So, like, are we missing something obvious? Let us know.
Yeah.
Tweet us your Arnie film. Your best latest Arnie film.
Yeah, the latest Arnie film you consider good. I'm intrigued by this.
Bob, share us your thoughts as well, at Bobus Maximus. Huge Arnie fan.
Let's trace the year Arnie was great.
And we'll do an open forum.
That's great.
Yeah. Nolan Plays at Nolan EC11. It was awesome, Terminator Genesis.
I think we'll have to agree to disagree on that.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine.
Depends what you
I
want
suppose.
Out of it.
Yeah. If you want an action film mindlessness, then I guess you got what you wanted.
Yeah, another couple from Pete. Space Jam. Scott was right.
I was
7 out of 10.
I was fucking right. I was.
That's 2-on-2 now.
It's fucking classic, and he should have fucking won. But that's why I picked Space Jam. But you'd not watched it, had you?
Still not rushing to watch it, probably.
Yeah,
classic.
I think I might push 500 movies in 365.
Yeah,
I think you will.
Ping Pong Summer. Not heard of. Growing Up 80s. 7 out of 10.
I've heard of that one, yeah. I think it's a documentary. I might be wrong. I know there was a Pong documentary, but that might have just been called Pong.
Right.
I might be completely wrong. This might be about table tennis. I'll shut up now.
And The Cobbler, not Typical Sandler. 7 out of 10.
This
That's
is
the
where
second
he makes
positive
shoes.
Review. Yeah.
Sounds like a load of cobblers.
Hey! That's probably a joke from the film.
You shooed that one in. Podcast losing its soul. Anyway, super fan Robbie Polanco at Robbie_Polanco. Just a few tweets. Obviously, he's catching up on the podcast. Batman Begins is a classic. Throw it out. You didn't enjoy it.
Thing is, though, if you carry on with shoe puns, it's bad for your elf.
Oh, that was quite straight laced. Anyway, Batman Begins
is
a classic. Are you 100%?
Why would anyone recommend it?
Because they watched one film.
It was good.
Elves do make shoes. That is the thing. Am I going mad?
Shoes and Christmas presents.
They make Christmas presents and extravagant buildings. Lord of the Rings.
Very extravagant buildings.
Elves.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. They stare at you wistfully.
Mm.
While delivering ominous lines without moving their mouths.
Oh, like newsreaders.
Like newsreaders.
I don't know where we're going with that.
They like to be complimented. It's good for their self-esteem.
Hey! Robbie also says, would love to see a third Hellboy film. Christopher Lee gave it his all in everything he was involved in. R.I.P.
Yeah. RIP.
Yeah, definitely.
RIP.
And,
Probably not the time.
Too soon.
Christopher, he's a legend, isn't he?
He was.
Word's thrown about too easily.
No.
But
this
if he can be, he can be. It's Christopher Lee, isn't it?
Legendary. Ooh. Yeah. And thanks for the song. I'll make it my ringtone. Little song. I've forgotten how it went. The
we
one I'm allowed to
we
do.
Sing a lot.
Yeah. No worries.
Sorry.
No worries. Human Centipede 3.
Give him a new song, Steve.
We sang him a probably Palenka song, didn't we?
Yeah.
Can't remember.
I can't remember what it was.
Give him a new one then.
I will next week.
Why do you have to make him wait?
Because he's thanking us for this one and I only just made it his ringtone, so I can't.
You can't ruin
it. Can't up the ante now.
But you could give him a text tone.
Oh.
I think I think each week we should, when Robbie tweets us as a reward, we should take a 90s pop song and put Robbie Pelinka's.
Yes. We'll do that.
We'll see how far that goes.
Yeah, we'll do that, next time.
That gets to week three, I'll be flabbergasted.
Right, you're on.
We're not starting now, though.
Obviously. No. Human Centipede 3, we put up, we tweeted them. They're pretty cool, actually.
We'll be reviewing it next week. Me and Steve will be heading to HorrorCon and also be watching Human Centipede 3, which will be included in that little section. We can tell you all about eating poo.
Yeah. 500 people.
Coprophagia.
Mm-hmm. Dave at Wilbro Jr. 36, how on earth did they manage to get another sequel from that premise? Well...
It's the gift that keeps on giving.
It is, definitely. It
generates its own publicity, and everyone watches it, if for nothing else than morbid curiosity. Mm-hmm. So they can churn them out for the rest of the time. Someone's going to watch them.
Yeah. And gang leader Luke Pietnik, at Luke Pietnik, I'm disgusted by the very thought of Human Centipede 3. Couldn't watch the first one. Made me feel sick.
I love reading Tom Six, who directed it, whenever it is an interview, says whenever someone walks out or anything, he feels like that's a compliment to his movies, because he's so pleased. And he purposely makes these films as bad as he can, just because he likes poking with a stick, I think.
Mm.
So Luke, with that, oh, it was disgusting. You're actually making the director very happy. Tom Six, continue doing that
with his sandpaper.
How do you make the director unhappy?
It's a catch 22. You can't.
Yeah, maybe it is.
Yeah.
What if you just started pulling it?
What, the back of the centipede?
Just started
whilst watching it.
Walking away in the middle of the
play. Well, you'd probably be joining in with what is actually happening on screen, because that does happen in other films.
How do I upset this director?
You can't. Probably just say
he's got to have a button.
He's got to.
I'm going to find a button. Yeah. Maybe I'll just laugh outrageously.
But it's a huge comedy. This one is a comedy. So
what if I just, like, boo? I'll heckle.
He'll love that.
I love it. He loves the negativity.
Maybe
well.
I'll sit next to him and just blow in his ear.
That probably won't.
Oh, yeah. Flicking him on the balls.
Yeah, I'll do that. I'm really indifferent to it all. I'm just curious, how do I get to this manor? You turn it into a challenge.
The Nerd Out app, thanks for pointing that out. Whoever, I can't remember who it was now. But on Indiegogo, just over a few, well, there's about 20 days to go now, to raise $30,000. It's basically to discover local geeky events wherever you are in one handy app, so you can go somewhere and press it and it says, nearby there's these Comic-Cons or cool geeky things. They look pretty sweet.
That's cool. It's kickstarting, isn't it? So check them out. We'll be posting the website on the
website.
Have you got it written down?
It's the Nerd Out app on Indiegogo.
Nerd Out.
Just type in Nerd Out, and it'll be there.
Nerd Out!
Nerd Out! That sounds really cool. Loads of retweets for the Gillian Anderson creature from the Black Lagoon-inspired picture from 1997.
And it's my background on my phone.
It's a good picture. It was
a nice picture. Luke Pietnik said the original creature from the Black Lagoon film is still a terrific movie. Terrific fun.
It's fine. I mean, it's not my favourite Universal horror one. But it is quite fun, definitely, to see a man swimming around in a rubber suit grabbing at women's legs.
There's no way that's not fun.
No, I still need to see it. And lastly, Simon Robertson at Say Yeah Flash, your northern voices to my southern ears kept making me hear you talk about Batman Begins.
I'd watch that.
I would. Batman Begins.
I'm going on an adventure. I'm going to go to Mordor, Alfred. For Rachel.
I'd watch it. I'm into it.
Yeah, we're there. Batman Begins.
Where are the eagles?
And just a quick shout out for Beer Central at Beer Central Limited. If you're in Sheffield, they're in the Moor Market, pop down and get some tasty ales. I had a few, tweeted them, don't know if anyone saw them, but worth a visit, very friendly.
Thank you very much for all your interactions, and thank you very much for listening. We will be back next week and we will be talking Starship Troopers. Were you at our event? Throw your three word reviews, we'll be reading some out of Starship Troopers. Also, we'll be going to HorrorCon UK, which will be held on this weekend, actually, coming up, past weekend, actually, for you listening. And that is where we will talk Human Centipede 3. And very funny, guys.
Yeah.
I'm just going to leave you there doing that. Make sure you do watch us on YouTube. Scott will be playing games with Dan on Bemusement Arcade. You can also subscribe to, and give us a rating on iTunes, Speaker, Stitcher, Podcastland. And you can find us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Weekly Eats, but you'll find us. So thank you very much for listening. We'll be back next week with more. Now we are going to go back in time, rewrite what we've just done and do it again in a slightly less interesting way. We're going to recast Scott with a 12-year-old boy, Steve with a 15-year-old girl, and me with an emu.
I thought you said less interesting.
Wait a minute.